guys, you're listening to Forever 39 with Annette and Megan. We want you to think of us as your very own podcast besties. So if you have any feedback or advice for future topics, you can email us at forever39@nj115.com. You can also hit us up on Twitter at nj115, hashtag Forever39, and you can like us on Facebook via the New Jersey 101.5 page. Coming up later in this episode, we're going to discuss fashion trends for spring and what women wish they knew about men and vice versa. But first, we're going to talk about how cell phones may be ruining your relationships. And joining us is New Jersey 101.5 talk show host Dennis Malloy of the Dennis and Judy Show. Thanks so much, Dennis, for joining us.
Hi, Dennis.
Hi. How are you?
So we talk a lot about relationships on this podcast, and one of the things that I think is ruining relationships, and not just...
Oh, I thought this was automotive talk?
Yes. That's the next segment.
Wait a minute, this is about relationships, like, with women?
Yes, and with men.
Oh, my.
Are you sure you want to be part of it?
I thought he was going to talk about his Buick.
Oh, yes. Well, we would love to hear that.
Carburetors versus fuel injection. I think fuel injection is much more efficient than carburetors.
I think engines are.
I'm in the wrong room. All right, okay.
But one of the things that I think is ruining relationships, and not just intimate ones, but ones with all people, is what experts have coined as technoference. So there's no doubt about it. Cell phones and computers are super distracting. But I thought for this topic, we would just focus on cell phones because it's a device that everyone has with them, quite frankly, at all times, no matter what the circumstance. So a pair of professors from the Pennsylvania State University and Brigham Young University did a study a few years ago on technoference and the impact technology has on relationships. And they asked over 140 married or people living together. So they asked 140 women a series of questions. And 70% of those that took part in the survey said cell phones interrupted interactions between themselves and their partners. And the women also said that those that dealt with the most technoference in their relationships also reported fighting the most with their partners. So even more troubling, a quarter of the women surveyed said their partners actually sent a text while they were engaged in an important conversation. So I've noticed cell phones are just impeding in all aspects of our life.
Sure.
I've noticed when I have conversations with friends, family, you're at the dinner table, no matter what, they're very focused on their device a lot of times. And so do you think that cell phones are definitely ruining relationships?
I think they're frustrating. My parents were over the other day and they've gotten really bad at holding their phones and like looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
And
your parents?
Yes.
Who are in their
60s. And there, my mom's sitting there, and I'm trying to have a conversation with her about something kind of important that's going on. And she was like, mm-hmm. And I knew
she wasn't listening to you.
No idea what I was talking about.
Well, it's a completely new dynamic in human interaction and behavior. We've never had this before. So if you're in a relationship and it does become a problem, try to have a conversation and set up rules like, listen, when we're at dinner, we both have them away. When we're watching TV and one goes off or whatever, let's make a rule that we only check it during commercials. Unless you both have a child together that you need to monitor, you know, closely.
Right.
Like, what if that's Sophie and she needs a ride from the movies and we're not answering the phone? But set up
parameters,
guidelines. Mm-hmm. And another thing is respect for each other has really just declined in general.
Absolutely.
But what do you think attributes to that? What do you think that is?
The respect for each other?
Correct, yeah.
I'm going to blame me and Judy for part of it. No, and I know we have very little importance in the whole scheme of things in the world, but the coarseness through the media has diminished personal respect for each other. But just in general, it's kind of cool to be nasty and mean and rude to each other, and politeness and respect aren't drummed into us like it was when we were children.
I also feel like we're all much more narcissistic, and we're all much more sort of all about me. What about me? Me, 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 me. Like everything is about me.
I was dating a younger woman a few years back, and it was about 9 years ago, and I was taken aback when she would look at her cell phone and take a text, or, and it was mostly just text at the time.
It's very disconcerting, I find.
And I was like, whoa. I felt hurt. I'm rarely hurt or offended, and I was like offended. And then now, you know, fast forward, I said my daughter's on it all the time, and when we're together, she's half... her face is in there half the time. And I get it. But I think if it's a love relationship, if it's a relationship between in a couple, you have to set up parameters to say what is out of bounds and what is okay. And even if you have to say, honey, I'm going to take this or I'm going to, somebody keeps texting me, I'm curious, to have that mutual respect for each other. Well, and set up guidelines.
To your point, we don't have a mutual respect for each other. Again, it's all about what do I want? What do I need to do for myself? That seems to sort of like trump anything else that matters. But what's interesting is I almost wonder if the device itself hasn't become a bit of an addiction.
Yeah.
And on Sunday, 60 Minutes did this amazing piece about what they call brain hacking. And they had a developer on who he used to work at Google. And he was talking about how they develop certain programs that make you want to look, you know, at your cell phone because, for example, Facebook likes, right? When you post something, all of us are probably guilty of getting on Facebook and going, how many likes did I get? Who commented? And it's addictive because you keep sort of like
going back.
And they were saying that there's all sort of ways that people become addicted to their cell phones, teenagers especially. So I almost wonder if it's not sort of like a habit forming thing where you're constantly checking, like, did someone text me? Do I have an email? Like,
yeah,
you know.
Most definitely.
Right.
Since we have a radio show for 4 hours a day, I don't want any more attention. So therefore, I don't have a Facebook. I don't post. I post things for the radio station website, and they keep hammering us. How many hits did you get? Get more hits. Get more hits. Once in a while, I'll check to see how many hits something got. But for the most part, I don't want anything to do with it. I get enough attention, so I don't have a personal Facebook. I don't care how many likes I get. I hope I get a lot of dislikes.
So do you think it is people just trying to be like, look at me, see me, see what I'm doing? Whereas you have your fill. I think
So that's why I have a little bit of
You don't need it.
I don't need it.
I'm so important. I need to have 100 likes today.
But if I didn't have a radio show, I'd fall into the same trap, I'm sure. Although some people, mostly guys don't, I don't want to say just guys, but it seems like more girls, my daughter's age 26, care more about how many likes they got or how many views they got on something.
Girls my age care, I think.
I think what's interesting, and Dennis, I know you have older parents. I find it interesting that, like, let's say my aunt and my uncle, my uncle's 84 and my aunt is 79, and they have cell phones and they basically have them because I feel like they feel like they need to have them to keep in touch with their grandchildren and to keep in touch with their children. Mm-hmm. And it's very frustrating for them because they don't really understand the technology or how it works. But it's interesting how the older generations feel like they have to get it because otherwise, as they have told me, I'd never hear from anybody because no one calls any longer.
Nobody calls their house phone.
Right. So it's interesting how even that generation feels as though they have to get that technology in order to keep in touch.
This is the biggest game changer in society, the internet and the access to the internet on our phones in the last, you know, couple of hundred years, just what we've seen in the last 10 years. And it really is changing the dynamic of relationships, human behavior, even human physiology. People are going to have serious neck problems in the next 20 years.
They say that it's called crane neck. One of my friends is a chiropractor, and she said she sees it all the time. Yeah.
It's weird. I don't like it. I try to limit my use, and certainly when I'm in a personal conversation, if I do have to text somebody back, it should be important, and I'll tell them, this is my realtor, and I need to get back to her, or this is
right
my
away.
Daughter, and, you know.
I find it so dismissive. Like if we go out to dinner or whatever, and Mike pulls his phone out, he works from home, so he kind of never leaves the office.
Right.
But also, I find it like very like I'm so important. I need to check my phone at dinner.
Well, like, you hit the nail on the head with the word dismissive. But he's not dismissing you. He's keeping up with his work. But it feels dismissive.
It does feel
and
dismissive.
Do you express to him that, hey, I wish you wouldn't do that?
Yeah, and he immediately will put it away if I say anything.
Aww,
and I try not
good.
To say, yeah. But I try not to say anything, especially if I know it's work. But if we're out to dinner with my parents, even though my parents are probably the biggest culprits in doing it, I just feel like it's very disrespectful of them.
Yeah, I'm surprised your parent, your dad owns a business or two.
Yes, yes. So he's very wrapped up in that, but he's more silent in it. So he's not as involved. But my mom, my younger sister's pregnant. So my mom's kind of checking her phone, or my sister will text her throughout the day about different things about her other children, whatever. But she just sits there and I want to grab it out of her hands. And it just, and I have a girlfriend. Every time I pick her up, she gets in my car. And the first thing she does is either call someone or she starts texting. And I'm like,
and
hi,
you see people
haven't
go
seen
to,
you in a year.
Exactly.
What's up?
And now baseball season started and you see people at baseball games. You just paid $40 to park.
Exactly.
And $80 to sit in a seat and looking in a screen.
That is a whole other topic because I can go on about that forever. But it's interesting that in some ways we have so many forms of communication available to us today. So there's so many ways to connect, but yet I feel as though we've never been so disconnected from one another.
Do you guys, I wonder about the generation that's coming up now, like the kids that are teenagers now, the ones that have never known life without it.
Do they know how to have a conversation?
But are they going to feel a certain emptiness and not know why?
I don't know.
That's
because
a very good point.
That communication isn't there.
Have you ever tried to talk to one of these cretins?
What?
I see kids today, and they're like... They look at me like they just came off of a spaceship, and I'm an alien being to them.
Well, Dennis, that's because you're so just good looking.
Yeah,
come on.
So odd looking. I think it's already had a negative effect.
I agree.
They seem like little weird people to me.
They do. They don't know how to hold a conversation. And I've always kind of been chatty, and I like that. I like that you can go into a room and kind of control it.
Last night I was in a supermarket that I always go to, and I see this kid, and he's like, "Hi, how are you? Well, do you have a card for the supermarket?" "Yeah, I got it. I'll scan my..." Okay, boom, 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 boom. Scanned everything real quick, and I go, "Where do you go to school?" And there's a choice. There's either Cherokee, Shawnee, Seneca, one of those Lenape Regional School District high schools in South Jersey. He said, "I'm homeschooled." I said, "I knew it! I knew it!" I said, "You're bright and efficient and smart. Tell your mom and dad."
There's no way you're in the public education.
No, because he wasn't like all droned out like a lot of the other kids I see. His mom must, and dad must talk to him.
Right.
The other kids I see, I call them droned out.
Droned out. That's an interesting term. I like it.
I know.
That's good.
I think that's a great explanation. I just made it. You're so clever.
I think we could definitely do a lot more on this topic, but our limit is up. So for those of you struggling with this issue in your relationship, we're going to post some tips over on our website, nj115.com, from Psychology Today, that will help couples resolve technoference conflicts in their relationships. And we want to hear from you. Do you think cell phones are interfering with your relationships? Take our poll over at nj115.com. So the next topic I thought we'd talk about, have a little bit of fun, especially with having Dennis here. There's always certain things that I think women really want to know about men, sort of the mystery about men.
I was so excited you were going to do this with us because I knew you'd have a thing.
Well, we have to have a man with us to do this topic. And I'm sure that there are definitely things that men do not understand about women and want to know, what exactly is going on in our minds. Now, I will tell you, for me, the one thing I don't understand, and Dennis, I know we spoke about this a couple minutes ago, and you're not guilty of this, but I do know many men who, I don't know what it is, they're too proud, they don't want to ask questions, I'm not sure, but like men who will not read directions when putting things together, and they're obviously putting them together wrong, and men who will literally drive around for 5 hours, waste time, and will not look at a map or stop and ask for any sort of directions. Like, I don't understand what that's about. So can you please explain that to me?
Well, sure. I've bought many pieces of furniture from Target for my kids' rooms or for my room.
I'm not looking at this manual.
Well, you look at it, and you look at the pieces, and you go, all right, I get how that works. And then you go. Because if I don't read instructions well.
Okay.
Show me the pieces, and it looks like and the little tools I need to put it together, and I'll go that way. If it's complex in some way, I'll read the directions. But it's kind of emasculating to read the directions.
Okay.
Because why?
Because I'm a manly man, and I
should
know how
to put
the furniture together.
Exactly.
No, but did you learn that skill somewhere along the line?
Well, my dad was an electronic engineer, and he helped his father build a wine press when he was a kid, and he built his own TV when he was 16.
So this means you should be able to put together furniture from Target?
Yes!
Yes, it should be handed down. That's part of the
built
gene
a motor. He built a motor for his father, his immigrant father's wine press in the basement in South Philly.
That's really
built
cool,
his own
actually.
TV at 16. And so Target, I got a box of faux wood from Target that makes a table. I ought to be able to put that together without reading point A. Take piece J.
Look at diagram AC.
Yeah, and they always put a little sticker on it like, and it says, the sticker says J is the bottom and H is the top. I got it from here, Oscar.
And you really honestly can never understand the pictures because they just don't look like what you're looking at.
No, it's not. Right.
But and the other, so it's an ego thing. Men want to be. Now, this new generation didn't have a dad like I did.
They don't know how to put together anything.
And
they
I don't
need
think they may not be emasculated like my generation with not being able to build something. They should be. because they still have a penis and they're still male, but they're not. They're also morphed into something else.
All right,
also.
So that's, yeah. Here's my other one. Why is it that the world is literally falling apart when men get sick?
Yes, what is that?
What is that? Like, you get a cold and literally it's like you're on your deathbed writing your last, you know, wishes down.
Oh,
and
you would
your
think
last
there was never a worse cold.
You're like, wait, yeah, what, not your last rice, whatever the term is.
So true. Oh.
See, I hear that. Well, we didn't cover the directions thing because I never asked.
You don't have that problem.
I don't have
right.
a problem with directions, but I did hesitate a long time in using GPS because I prided myself in being able to find it myself.
Because you should have a sense of direction because
yes,
you're a man.
Exactly. And there's nothing, but we criticize and mock those, you know, manly things, but that's a part of the male ego or the male, you know, makeup. The other thing about what you just brought up.
With the being sick
the being
and
sick,
why it's the end of the world.
I don't have that. I don't have anyone take care of me. I hate it. I hate being doted on. I don't have anybody cook for me or take care of me at all. If I'm sick, just leave me a 12-hour period where you don't
bother you.
Need me.
Okay.
Let me be alone and be sick. I've taken care of people when I'm sick, too, when the kids were little. And I don't want to be doted on. And I don't think I'm dying. But just... let me go and sit. I'm going to be grumpy.
I think this is a rarity, though.
Really?
I yes. do too. Oh, yeah, done. Yes. It is.
I don't want to be. Oh. Men want to be doted on and cared for, and it's the worst thing in the world.
It's just
sometimes
ridiculous.
I don't even tell anybody when I'm sick. Like, I just kind
right.
of deal with it.
Right.
But if Mike, oh my God, he'll wake up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and all you hear is like banging and things moving.
Like, what is wrong? What are you
then
looking for?
Then he leaves
for?
It all on the counter as to make sure I didn't miss the fact that he got up at 4 a.m. and was going through the medicine cabinet. Oh my God, you'd think he was. And I'm like, well, this week he cut the grass for the first time. So he didn't. You would think, oh my God, all I'm doing is sneezing. Do we have any allergy medicine? I was up at 4 a.m. I'm like, I know, I heard you. The dogs heard you.
Everybody
like,
heard you.
Oh my God, like just take your allergy medicine and shut up.
All right, so
I agree
my
with
other
you.
One.
I don't want to trash my fellow men, but yeah, take the medicine, go into a room by yourself, and shut up.
Oh my God. Breasts. We all have them,
yes.
Including you guys.
Yes.
Again.
Do you want to see mine?
I will show you mine. What?
Wow. Is this, we on camera?
Look, this is, you know, podcast. We can do whatever
we can
you
do
want
whatever
here. Yeah. I know. So, what is the big deal about breasts?
Yeah, why guys,
do you really want me to go?
Yeah, please. I just
wore a very low cut
because,
top today, and I did not.
See, I don't know if it's just. I mean, I know I realize
know
breasts
about...
have been sexualized. I get it, but like,
oh, yeah.
Really, they're just here to feed children.
Like, true.
But men are so just amazed by them, and I just find it interesting. Like, what about them is so amazing? Because I find them to be, you know, annoying at times.
Right, how many hours can this?
Right.
What about
this
them is so
unlimited.
Amazing?
And
God, I'm not a real hardcore breast man, and my preference in them tends to be on the small size
okay.
side.
Do you have a body part on a woman you like? Like something that you're the tush?
Oh, look.
No, I like
legs?
The tush.
Legs.
No.
Okay. No. I'm like out of
turn
neck,
around.
Back.
Yes, neck.
Neck. Okay.
The nape of the neck.
Oh.
If you show mirrors right now, I might not be able to control myself.
Oh my
Are
gosh,
you
I
serious?
Love it.
I swear to God.
I like that. You don't hear that very often.
No, I think that's the first time I've ever heard that. That's fascinating. Mm-hmm.
Can I see yours?
Yeah, sure.
There you go. Oh gosh, they have to get a room. This
Holy
is like so
smokes.
Embarrassing.
No, that's ridiculous.
What is it? I wonder what that is.
Show me again, I'll have a better idea. I don't know, but
that's your thing.
Yeah,
I don't get.
Wow.
See, my thing is hands. I've
heard forearms.
I like a. I'm a chest girl for sure, but I like a big hand on a man.
I like eyes.
You like eyes? Yeah,
yeah.
I'm whatever.
Dark eyes.
Face.
As long as they're dark.
All right. So, Den. So, since we don't have 20 hours to talk about breasts,
yeah.
Is there anything that you wonder about women that Megan and I can help answer for you?
We're more linear thinkers. We just want to get from point A to point B. And we have to work at some of the emotional things like being romantic or romancing
mm-hmm.
you at certain
sure.
times. But to just manufacture a problem or an argument out of nowhere.
Oh, we're good at that.
What the is that?
Because I think sometimes women want attention. They don't feel like, I think sometimes women don't
well,
feel like they're
want...
getting enough attention from their partner. And so I think sometimes we do that to kind of like create conflict so that
you'll get more attention.
The attention is now on us. Yeah, because I think sometimes men forget that just saying you look nice goes a long way. You know, just stopping and saying, you know what, you look beautiful today. I like that top. Men sometimes forget to tell a woman that. And
true.
And a
I
lot
tell
of,
every woman in this building that.
I know
you
he
do.
Does.
You are very comfortable.
Yes,
and
you
I
are.
Don't do it to be a sleazy, flirty lech. Sleazy. I mm-hmm. just think it's.
Is there something that you have that you've always wondered, like Megan, about men?
Yeah. It's not, oh my God. It's more. I get sick of, I really try to be like the cool wife. Like Mike can go out with his friends, don't
right.
care. But this is what I don't understand. A lot of times it's, I feel like I'm sitting around trying to understand men and what works for men and how men, where I feel like they
oh
don't take, because they're always like, oh, that's a man. Oh, that's just a man. Oh, Megan, get used to it. That's a
right.
man.
There's not but, much to understand.
But I don't understand why.
They want them, meat
feed
and
them,
sex.
And yeah.
But I don't understand
leave them alone.
Why they can't take a minute to understand maybe we need to hear, sure. you look awesome today. Or
oh, I see what you're saying. They kind of just dismissive, like, oh, but we're just
but
men.
But we're supposed
okay,
to understand
right.
mm-hmm. their
no,
actions.
It does take work to maintain a relationship with a woman because we don't think like women and don't. You know, some are more sensitive than others, some guys, and so some kind of tend to lean more that way and will be more open to complimenting you and buying you flowers or something like that. For the most part, though, we want to get through the day, and we want to get laid at the end of the day. Part of getting through the day is having a good meal. So if you can feed them, F them, and put them to bed and leave them alone, that's a good thing.
I picked up a rotisserie chicken at ShopRite.
Hey, you're feeding them. I don't care who makes the chicken.
That's good. The food's in there.
But men are very easy to understand. But we need to maintain a good, healthy relationship with a woman. You need to, you know, work at it a little bit, stroke sure. them, do those things that are not necessarily mm-hmm. natural to men. But I have found in my life experience and watching other people and in relationships of my own, if you're too nice to anybody, including a woman, you tend to get walked on. So you got to have a certain amount of, you know, don't expect too much from me, and then surprise them.
Sure.
So it's a balance. And with a woman in a relationship for a man, with a woman, it's a delicate balance that you really have to give some thought to work on. Because I find guys that are really nice get treated like crap, and guys that are like,
their balls are in a jar.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Sure. And that's not attractive. I
no.
don't think it is.
So
all.
You have to be a certain mm-hmm. amount of, I'm a man, but know when to.
But not a jerk.
Not a jerk.
Right.
And no, not a, never a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And know when to, you know,
show
grease the wheels,
sure.
grease the skids,
yeah.
flowers, compliments, special dinner, special
the whole
surprise.
Thing.
Yeah. yeah. See, I think guys need to do that more.
Yeah,
I think
we're
so busy
so too.
Trying to understand them and, mm-hmm. oh, we can't get mad at them because it's just being a man.
Right. I agree. Well, if there are some things you would love to know about men and or women, let us know by emailing us at forever39@nj1015.com. Thanks, Dennis, so much.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you so
we
much
love
for
having you.
Me.
Thank you.
We appreciate your time.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Can you see the neck one more time?
Sure. Anything for you, Den.
Oh, oh, goodness.
I gotta go.
All right.
It is getting hot in here. So, Megan, before we talk about the next topic, mm-hmm. I wanted to give a shout out to one of our podcast listeners.
Okay.
So a few weeks ago, we did a topic about what we would do if we hit the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying how in New Jersey, if you hit a huge amount of money, you can't stay anonymous because it's against the law. There is legislation looking to change that so you don't have to reveal your name. But as it stands right now in New Jersey, if you're like, let's say, a big Powerball winner for $500 million, you can't just sort of like go in a corner and hide away because they're going to know who you are and they have the right to release that.
Mm-hmm.
So one of our listeners, her name is Christine Kors. She said that what you could do when you win the lottery is to set up a corporation and to have the corporation claim the winnings, and then you can remain relatively anonymous.
Oh,
so I thought
smart.
That I thought that was awesome. I was like, I have to let our listeners know about
yeah.
that because I certainly didn't think of that. And I think that's kind of a way around it.
Right.
Now, obviously, that would mean that you probably can't claim the winnings like right away. Obviously, you'd
mm-hmm.
have to, you know, spend time with a lawyer to set up the corporation. I don't know how long something like that takes. But at least there's an option where you might be able to remain relatively
right.
anonymous.
Because,
so,
you know, for safety alone.
Yeah.
You know?
So thanks so much
tip.
For the tip. We
yeah.
really appreciate it. So, yeah.
Well, I wanted to talk about spring fashion trends.
Yes.
Oh, so
I love spring.
Me too. This weather has just
it's
been
great.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been shopping quite a bit lately because we're getting ready to go on vacation. And so I've been at malls and department stores. And can I tell you, every store I go into has those cold shoulder tops. Mm-hmm. I can't escape. Everyone's wearing them. Now, for me, just like a couple years ago, remember when the peplum tops were in?
Yes.
I never bought one. The cold shoulder tops, I won't buy one. I just feel like they're too trendy, and I like to go for more classic pieces that can endure. So it got me to thinking about, like, what fashion trends are on point for the spring, kind of give our listeners a heads up. But a lot of the stuff I found as I was going through the lists, I kept Googling, and there were some that stood out as bizarre to me, but some that stood out as classic. One of the things I came across was bell sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
And I love a bell sleeve. I think that's a classic look and not necessarily just something you're going to see for the spring and it's going to go away.
Yes, absolutely. Ruffles and puffed up sleeves are another thing. They say that it's sort of like 80s has come back in a way.
Right. And so, I like that look. I think it's a fun look. And especially for springtime, like the ruffle puffy.
I think it's romantic.
I agree. Mm-hmm. And I saw this and I thought this was really cool. It caught my eye because I kind of still wear this style from, I don't know when it was in the last time. The raw hem, like cropped flares.
Mm-hmm.
The jean look, like almost like a boyfriend jean, maybe a little tighter than that. And I like that look. You could throw a top on with that and go. I think so cute.
Everything works.
With like a sandal. And they said wedges are in this year.
Well, it's funny. Not only wedges, but I also read that flat forms are in. So like a platform, but it's basically like, think of your regular ballet flat, but then raised like 3 inches, but still flat.
Oh, I like that.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
So I was like, that works for people who I think have problems with their feet, but still want some height.
Right. So also stripes.
And then stripes are huge
for
the spring.
I thought if you got a striped cold shoulder top, you could double the trend, which is sometimes obnoxious. But the one trend that's really crazy to me, have you seen the spaghetti strap dress with the t-shirt underneath, like a la 90210 era?
No.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so that's really big? Okay.
Yeah, and that's something for spring, and I think that is horrendous, and it should be gone. I also looked up some beauty tips, and a couple of them that were weird, they said, we should take a picture of this and put it on the internet. Blurred lips. So you put lipstick on, but then blur it outside the line, so it almost looks like you have clown lips.
Yeah, no thank you.
Yeah, what
no,
is
no,
that?
No, no, no.
What is that?
I couldn't do that. Nope.
Because I think it looks like, you know, your crazy Aunt Susan who, like, has lipstick all over her face. That's what that look reminds me of. And another thing I saw, I have red hair, and one of the things that's in for spring, it's called blorange hair, and it's blonde and orange. It almost looks like a pink tone. I think that looks like a mistake at the salon. I don't know why that would be on trend.
The ones that I got really excited about are big, bulky bags. I love a big bag.
Me too.
So I was like, that's awesome. A lot of shades of pink, pretty much all shades of pink are in this spring and summer.
So complimentary to most skin tones.
Absolutely. And then flowers, like flowers everywhere. So flower handbags, flower tops, flower skirts. So
I'm weird about prints on top.
I love print.
I just think it has to be done right, or I think it ages me.
They were seeing too, romantic patchwork designs on dresses and skirts are really in. And then this I thought was interesting, robes. So, like, you know, think of a normal robe and then you would kind of make it a little bit more sexier, but you would maybe wear like a skirt with a top and then like a robe sort of draped over it. That was really big on the runway.
Right.
In all forms, whether it's like athletic wear or urban wear, or, you know, again, like night out wear, like people were doing that, like the robe sort of as the last look.
Vacation, that's one of the outfits I did. I did a black spaghetti strap dress, and at the bottom there's frilly mesh at the bottom. And I did that where I got this silk satin, almost robe style to wear on top of it.
Nice.
And I thought it would be cute with black strappy shoes, maybe hair in a high pony. I thought that was like a cute look
for spring.
Absolutely,
that sounds beautiful.
Right?
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. And the dress was $14.
Can't beat that.
Yeah.
That's a great deal.
But you know what I saw that was weird? Body makeup. So, like, I don't know if you came across this, but they had like people's earlobes done with like yellow makeup. I thought that was out of the box and something interesting and new we haven't seen. But then I also thought it looked like you have like mustard on your ear.
There's some,
like, it looked like schmutz.
And I think you have to have a certain look to pull that off. Like,
I
think you kind of have to have that, like,
the
artsy.
Fierce.
Yeah, definitely. You, like, I would never be able to pull that off. They'd be like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I would. It looked like we were trying too hard.
Exactly.
And
like,
I
some people can pull that off and they look amazing.
Right.
And I always envy people like that. Those the people that can wear that sort of style that's like fun and it looks great on them. I just don't really have that
I'm
look.
Big on wearing the trend or wearing a style and not having it wear me. If I put something on and feel like it is wearing me, I won't do it. I won't buy it. I won't get it. It looks like you're trying too hard, in my opinion.
Well, what fashion trend are you most excited about for spring? You guys can let us know by emailing us at forever39@nj115.com. So that wraps up this edition of Forever 39. On next week's show, we're going to talk about adulting classes for millennials, the ideal time to take a shower, and the best months to make certain big ticket purchases. So thanks, guys, for joining us. Yeah.